We continue our reading of Luke's Gospel. We have seen Jesus as he has begun his public ministry. He's preaching and teaching and healing. And this morning we see him doing something else, which is very important in the start of his ministry. He begins to call his disciples. So this is Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, remember that Simon Peter basically owed Jesus a favor. We read last week how Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. And, of course, Simon is the one we know better as Peter. Returning of favors is an important part of every culture. In that culture, it was a really big deal, such that when Jesus, faced with that overflowing crowd there at the shore, steps into Peter's fishing boat and asks Peter to row out just a little bit from the shore, Peter has no choice. He has to oblige him. But we should understand that this required more than a little effort on Peter's part. Remember, he'd been out fishing all night. He was no doubt exhausted. And to put out into that lake even a little way would have required Peter to basically row the boat continuously to keep it in the right position. But Peter does this without a word of complaint. And Peter's boat becomes a most excellent pulpit for Jesus to continue to teach the crowd. If you look at pictures of that scene, you'll see where the shore kind of rises up and forms a natural amphitheater to where Jesus would have been easily heard and seen by the crowd from out on the water. It's what Jesus requests of Peter when the preaching is done that must have really been the thing that annoyed Peter. Kind of one more thing than really the scales needed to be balanced. In fact, if we listen carefully enough, we will hear Peter's annoyance in his reply to Jesus. Jesus, when he had finished speaking, writes Luke, said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Peter, remember, is a professional fisherman. He does this for a living. Son of a fisherman, son of the son of a fisherman. Kept his family fed through this skill as a fisherman. And he knew that lake like the back of his hand. And these things about this lake are still true to this day. It is fed by spring waters in the depths, but where you find the fish are in the shallows. And the only time you find the fish is at night. So, one thing Peter knows, if you want to catch fish in that lake, you go at night and you fish in the shallows. You don't go out mid-morning into the deep. And to add insult to the injury of Jesus' request, remember, Peter's been out all night and didn't catch a thing. He's tired, he's frustrated, he is in no mood to entertain stupid fishing advice from a carpenter, no matter how much he owes him. And all of this is actually in the tone of Peter's reply to Jesus. "Master," he starts out, and right there you can hear his irritation. It's just that the English kind of covers it, because the title he uses for Jesus there is not quite as respectful as the English makes it sound. It's something really more like, "Okay, boss," or "If you say so, chief." And then he follows with this: we toiled all night, took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. One scholar who spent a lot of time in the Middle East teaching ran this story past some Middle Easterners, and he got their take on what was being said by Peter's two sentences there. Listen, teacher, my boys and I are professionals. We know where the fish feed. It's along the shore, and the best time to catch them is at night. That's why we were out on the lake all last night. We are not stupid. We have just worked the fishing areas and caught nothing. We are dead tired. I've stayed awake for a few extra hours for you. You rabbis think you know everything, and now you want me to fish during the day in deep water. Okay, let's go out there and let's see who knows a thing or two about fishing. And if only the thing which happened next had not happened, Peter would have had a great story to tell about that time he showed up, the fancy pants rabbi, and his bad fishing advice. But the strangest thing happens. Peter grows out into the deep water where the fish aren't. No doubt throwing the net into the water in a sarcastic manner. I don't know how you throw a net sarcastically, but you got to assume he did it. And lo and behold, fish. And not just fish, but more fish than Peter has ever caught in his life, much less in one catch. More fish than Peter had ever dreamed of catching. It was like he had won the lottery. So many fish filling the net that the boat was in danger of being swamped. And there's a fun little note in what happens next. It's just true of fishermen then and still today. Peter and his assistant, and the text is very careful about this, signal the other boat to come over. They don't yell out, come and help us, because if they yelled it, all the other fishermen on the shore would have found out about this new fishing hole that they had found. Sounds just like every fisherman I've never known. But when the other boat joins in trying to haul in the net, even that boat is so overwhelmed by the catch that it too starts to sink. The water's lapping over the sides of these fishing boats, and it slowly begins to dawn on Peter that this catch is not simply because he has accidentally found the fishing hole of fishing holes. It begins to dawn on him that this catch has everything to do with that carpenter standing in the boat beside him. It begins to dawn on Peter that the size of this catch, the timing of this catch, the location of this catch has a supernatural rather than a natural explanation. Now, Peter had already seen Jesus heal. He'd already heard Jesus teach. And clearly, Peter thought of him as a great religious man, a prophet. But something like fish scales fall from his eyes as he sees this. And it dawns on him who this carpenter must actually be. And he falls on his knees right there in the boat, fish all around him. Lord! Lord! Gripped by that mixture of terror and astonishment, the Bible calls awe. Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter's instincts are right on target. He's figured out who Jesus is. And he also knows that for a sinner to stand in the presence of the Most High God is to court immediate death. No sinner can look upon the glory of the Lord and expect it to end well. Isaiah, given his vision of the Lord in the temple of Jerusalem, immediately responds with terror. He says, woe is me, I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the King. It's that same fear in the lips of Peter. Depart from me, I am a sinful man. Because the only way a sinner can stand in the presence of God and live is if by some miracle God has come to that sinner to show mercy. To take what is unclean and make it clean. To take what has been marred by sin and make it holy. And Jesus, looking down upon Peter, this sinful fisherman trembling at his feet, says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And they row their boats back to the shore, that huge catch of fish piled up. And when they get to the shore, Peter and James and John, who were in the other boat, they leave everything. And they follow after Jesus. And with that, we, reading the story, now begin to see two things about it more clearly. And one is that the so-called miraculous catch of the story is actually not that great mass of fish hauled up by the nets from out of the depths of the sea. Rather, the miraculous catch is none other than Peter himself, hauled up from out of the depths of human sinfulness by the love and mercy of Jesus, the Lord. And second, we see the great truth that Jesus, the carpenter, is in fact the greatest fisherman this world has ever known. With a fisherman like Jesus, there just never will be a tale of the one that got away. If Jesus sets his eye, it's a sure thing that fish is going to be caught sooner or later. Which is actually good news. Good news for all of us. Do not be afraid, Jesus says to the sinner trembling at his feet at the bottom of the boat. Do not be afraid. Because what we see in this gospel story is the great truth of the gospel, that Jesus has come into this world precisely in order to haul up sinners like Peter, like you, like me. Haul us up into the boat of his redeeming love. Jesus, the fisherman. Jesus, the one who comes to us when the conditions are right and catches us in the net of his mercy. We were lost, but now we are found. We were drowning beneath the weight of so many worries and regrets, so many mistakes and misdirections, drowning beneath the weight of too much yesterday, not enough tomorrow. Drowning beneath the weight of so much in our lives that's just not right and for which we have lost all hope of repair. And then suddenly there he was, hauling us up into the joy of his salvation and saying to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid anymore. The great preacher Fred Craddock tells of meeting with an acquaintance in Atlanta. This acquaintance was a businessman and he had requested the meeting. And he had a typical religious history, this businessman. He'd grown up in the church as a kid, dropped it in college, and considered it irrelevant as an adult. But he'd come to a crossroads, quite frankly, because he had messed up and been messed up for a while. And it had now cost him just about everything that mattered. And as the conversation went on, Craddock drew him back to where he had lost his faith. And he said, well, I guess it came down to doubt. And Craddock said, what doubt? Doubt in the existence of God? He said, no. I think it came down to doubt in what the church was saying. Doubt that it was possible for a person really to be forgiven and to have a new life. Craddock said, well, it's true. You can. The man said, do you really believe it? And then he began to talk to me about his life and his need to turn a corner and begin anew. He had lost so much, including wife and children and business. Is it really true? And I said, it is true. He acted as though the message of the Christian faith had just come from Mars. And I got to wondering later, are there a lot of people in the world who really don't know that this is true, the message the Bible presents? Sometimes it's called a new creation. Just imagine that. First day of a new day, everything new, new creation. Sometimes it's spoken of as a new birth, like a new baby, guilty of nothing, brand new, fresh. He kept saying, is it true? I said, oh yes, it's true. It's true. Mercy. It's true. Grace. It's true. Forgiveness. It's true. A new start, a clean slate, a new beginning, a new life. It's true. Because of Jesus, the fisherman. Jesus, the fisher of men and women, ever at work in his world to bring us into his salvation. Jesus, the fisherman. But not only this, but also calling him to join him in that glorious work. From now on, he says to Peter, you'll be catching men. The Greek word there means to rescue. From now on, Jesus says to Peter and to us, now that I have caught you, from now on, I'll be using you to catch others. From now on, you will be catching others for me and making them alive, rescuing them in my name. Which is exactly what Jesus did through Peter. I mean, we would not be here today if Peter had not proven to be such a good fisher of men in Jesus' name. Remember how the first time Peter opened his mouth to proclaim the gospel, several thousand were saved the day of Pentecost. Remember how it was through Peter that God made it clear to the church that the gospel was meant for everybody, not just for a select few. God used Peter again and again to fish people out of their sin, out of their despair, to haul them into the light and love of Jesus. And God would do the same thing with us. Because all around us every single day are people who are falling into hopelessness and despair. People who are drowning under the burden of their accumulated failure and guilt. People who have cast their nets into the waters of life again and again and have kept coming up empty. And Jesus, loving these people, wanting them to know salvation, turns to Peter and to you and to me, and he says, in my name, for my sake, put out into the deep, go fishing. A young clerk at a bookstore arrived early one morning, found a man waiting for the store to open. He seemed decent, polite, evidently needed something right away, so she let him in even though the store wasn't to open for another hour. And she turned on the lights, said to him, do you need help finding anything? And he looked at her and kind of hesitantly said, yeah, I want to know about Jesus. So she led him over to the religious section, all the books about Jesus, started to walk away and leave him to his search. And he called after, he said, no, I want to know about Jesus the Savior. Can you tell me about him? Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. Sitting at a Starbucks, sinking down in a cushiony chair, newspaper in one hand, coffee in the other, another Christian was enjoying a peaceful start to his day. A woman he did not know was seated across from him, and he had smiled and nodded, being polite as he had sat down. After about 10 minutes, she interrupted his reading. Excuse me, she said, do you mind if I ask you a question? Do you believe in God? Said he did. Do you believe in the Bible? Said he did. Do you believe in hell? She asked. And from there the conversation went into deeper waters. She was in a rough place and searching for something, and she had figured out that Jesus and the church were what she was searching for. But the only experience she had had of Christians were those angry and judgmental voices she had encountered in her childhood church and encountered in the media. And he told her that at his church she would be welcome. That at his church the focus was not on who's going to hell, but rather on the promise Jesus had made to us of getting us into heaven. A focus not on judging sinners, but upon how the love of Christ comes to rescue all of us sinners from judgment. And he invited her to come and see for herself the following Sunday. He said, I'll meet you. I'll meet you at the door. From now on, you'll be catching men. Jesus, the fisherman, greatest fisherman this world has ever known. He caught us, hauled us up into the embrace of his mercy. And through a bunch of sinners like Peter, and you, and me, he's fishing still. Until at last he has caught up this whole world in his redeeming love. Amen.